today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, TSA and AAA both say the number of people traveling this Memorial Day weekend will set a record. The Mirage is closing in Vegas, and we'll tell you about the cruise ship that failed a CDC inspection, all next in the travel news.
Lawmakers have finalized the FAA authorization bill, and with it, some long overdue passenger protections. We'll review all of them and tell you about the goofy lawsuits many airlines have filed to prevent the consumer benefits from taking effect in our Smarter Traveler segment coming up at 11:20.
Carnival San Francisco is the largest and longest running multicultural celebration in the country. At 11:35, we'll tell you how you can be a part of it in the city's Mission District next weekend.
A group of dedicated volunteers honors our veterans each holiday season by placing wreaths on the graves at Sacramento Valley Cemetery there in Dixon. They have an annual golf tournament to raise funds for the project, and we have details coming up at 11:40.
When you travel to another country, you have to deal with their currency and the exchange rate, and some methods can save you a chunk of cash. We'll talk foreign exchange rates at 11:50.
Thank you for taking a little time out to join us today in this fine Sacramento Saturday. Making you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys. Yes, my friends, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks so much for coming along. Glad to be here with you on this sparkling Saturday morning. We got a lot of stuff to cover to make you a smarter traveler and entertain you and inform you all along the way. Mark?
We do? Yeah, oh, we do. We do. Yes. That's our job here on Saturday mornings. It's to do all of those things that you just talked about, and by golly, that's what we'll do.
All right. Anyway, what's new with sports leisure vacations that I need to know about?
Well, sports leisure vacations, probably a lot new there, but your broadcasting partner is headed across the country all the way to the other side to Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, you're going to be a gone from awayer.
A come from awayer.
A come from awayer, that's right. Yes. Are you going to Gander?
No, I'm going to St. John's, which is the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to get up to Gander, of course, which is the Air Force base where all the 9/11 planes landed, which gave a lot of us a little bit of some insight into Newfoundland that we didn't have otherwise, but I'm going to go up there. I've met a few people from Newfoundland called Newfies at travel shows and the like, and they're all incredibly nice people. And so I can't wait to get up there. And boy, it's really a long ways. I mean, you fly to Toronto, and which is, you know, that's almost 5 hours in itself, 4.5 hours, and then it's another 3.5-4 hours all the way over to Newfoundland. So it's you can do it all in one day, but you're going to leave at O'Dark 100 and get in at O'Dark 100. So otherwise, it's a 2-day trip. But I'm really very much looking forward to it. Hey, before we get to the news, I want to mention one thing here. I found an article on CNN about a lady who flew. She was the first time that a female pilot was in the cockpit for a domestic flight. Turns out it was a regional flight, but it still was a domestic flight. They kept it because the guy who owned the airline didn't want anybody to know that there'd been two women and no man in the cockpit, heaven forbid. They kept it a secret for years that the ladies had flown this flight. Anyway, it's a cool story. You can find a copy of it at travelguysradio.com. We have a list there of things that we talk about on the program with links and the like. So there is a link to that story. And my dad was an air traffic controller. And I think I've mentioned this before. Before ladies got into the cockpit, the language that was used between pilots and air traffic controllers would make a dock worker blush.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And so when ladies got into the cockpit, they had to clean things up a little bit and make things a little bit more civilized, which I will suggest to you was probably a long time coming. Anyway, a story about the lady who flew. It was the first time that a female had ever captained a domestic flight in the United States. Go to travelguysradio.com, and you'll find it. I stole it from CNN.
All right, there you go. Give credit where credit's due. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on the travel news. And with the latest, once again, here's Mark. What you got for us today, Mark?
Well, lots of stuff here. TSA and AAA both say there will be record-setting crowds on Memorial Day holiday travel weekend. AAA is talking about the roads. TSA is talking about the airports. There's no place to escape.
Yeah.
You're going to find a crowd no matter where you go on Memorial Day weekend. Let's see. Which one of these guys says this? TSA says 6.4% more people will fly this weekend pass through security than did last year. Why is that important? Because we already know parking is an issue at the airport. So if you're leaving any time after, I would say maybe Wednesday, parking's going to be an issue out there. Make sure you allow yourself plenty of time. All the flights will be full. That means all the lines will be longer than they usually are. TSA, check-in, dropping your bag, going to the bathroom, getting a cup of Pete's coffee in Terminal A early in the morning when it's the only damn place open. All of those things are going to take a little bit more time. So please do yourself a huge favor. And whenever you usually leave for the airport, just pad it by an extra 15, 20 minutes. That way, if life goes against you that day, why, you'll still make your plane and life will be good.
And take advantage of that friend that you had over and made them a nice dinner and said, oh, by the way, do you think you could give us a ride to the airport on Friday? You know, we need more of that, really, than people trying to drive out there, park, and do their thing, don't you think?
Cheap unsolicited plug. If you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, we take everybody to the airport.
Yeah.
So you don't have to park your car, and you don't have to add to the traffic and the pollution in a shared car service provided for from our friends at a limousine service in town. So if you are, that's the perfect way to do it. But anyway, Uber, Lyft, yeah, to your point, Tom, not taking a car to the airport, getting somebody to drop you, you're going to walk all the way in from Timbuktu. So you might as well park downtown and walk to the airport, because that's what's going to happen to you if you're not. Now, if you have the O-Dark 100 flight, you know, like the Southwest or the United that leaves at 5:10 or 5:15, you're in the morning, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But after about 8:30 or so, maybe not so much. Okay, Uber is announcing a new service. They are going to launch airport shuttle service in the United States. Shared rides. Sounds like these are going to be in larger vehicles. Some of them maybe even a bus, since that's the only vehicle I know that holds 55 passengers. They're talking with airport partners across the country. Also, they're going to introduce this as a way to get to concerts and sporting events and the like. So what if a bus ran through town and you could park somewhere and pick up the bus and pay X and go to the ballpark, and it would be cheaper than parking and taking your own vehicle and stuff like that? This is part of what my company sells. By taking people to the theater, and so of course we take them out of town and to ball games and the like, as you don't have to pay tolls and parking and all of that kind of jazz. So anyway, that's a new service that Uber is offering. Another little update on Uber services. Remember, we've been talking about how there's a dispute going on in Minneapolis, St. Paul about Uber. The city council there wants Uber drivers to make minimum wage. Uber says, yeah, not so much. They've argued back and forth. And this is due to take effect pretty soon. The city council literally is voting on whether to accept a little bit modified. Somebody went through the numbers and said, you know what? You guys say it takes this to make a minimum wage. We think we can be done with this, which is not quite so onerous on Uber. So why is this important to you? If Uber wins this and drivers don't have to be paid a legal minimum wage in Minneapolis, then they won't have to be paid a legal minimum wage anywhere. If they lose, then that will change things. One thing that I find interesting, Tom, is all the articles and all the clickbait are all talking about, you know, restaurants closing and people are mad about rising prices at fast food restaurants. I don't see any stories from the people who got the raises who say, wow, you know, now I can pay my rent. You know, the people who drive ride sharing in the Minneapolis area, maybe they would like to pay their rent, too. You know, we could pay them a living wage. Yes, if that caused ride sharing to go up a little bit. I'm confused at why the haves are so concerned that the have nots are getting something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, is it going to cost us more to travel and more to eat and more to everything? But is that really, is that maybe what's just fair? Do we if we want to do something, I'm getting off on a political rant, but if we want to do something about the homeless problem, maybe if we raise the minimum wage and pay the people on the bottom a little more money, maybe we don't have as many homeless people to start with. Anyway,
that's too obvious, Mark. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
All right, we'll keep you updated on that whole Minneapolis Uber thing, because I think that's going to have ramifications across the country. Remember, we had a river cruise line go out of business. Here, the American Queen Voyages ships, they were bought by American Cruise Lines. A little confusing there. But anyway, we're down a cruise ship, a river cruise company. They have the buying company has scrapped two of the old company's ships. They have not decided what to do with the legendary Mississippi Queen yet. They say that they are looking into actually maybe selling it to a municipality, Delta Queen. Mm-hmm. Would it be cool if we had them both down in Old Sacramento?
We got room. We'll make room.
It's just a thought. Somebody had to have a goofy idea a long time ago and say, you know, what if we put a steamboat on the river in
sure.
Sacramento? Would that not be cool? A ship failed its Center for Disease Control and Prevention inspection. It was a Margaritaville at Sea ship. Passing grades 86, they got 83. There's a whole list of things they didn't do well here, but basically they cheated and didn't follow the rules and washed their hands as often as they were supposed to and handled food wrong and the like, and they got caught. So the good news is that there's somebody out there checking on all of this stuff on our behalf, and that a ship failed the test, which means that it must be somewhat legitimate. So we've at least got somebody looking out for us, because, I mean, imagine getting out to sea and getting, you know, traveler's disease or something like that from something that you ate on board a ship because it wasn't washed properly. Or, you know, I mean, that can happen just as easy on the mainland. But when you're out at sea, you don't have quite as many resources to help you in a situation like
this.
That
is true. You know, and that is always a concern whenever you travel to foreign countries or whatever. But you get out on a cruise ship and you're always hoping that you'll see that green sticker on the side of the wall that says been inspected and we passed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So one that didn't make it. One of the Margaritaville ships. Okay, this is going to make some people listening to the program feel old. It definitely worked for me. The Mirage in Las Vegas has announced its closing date this summer. The only reason that's significant is I remember when the Mirage opened.
My gosh.
You know, the cool glass-looking thing, and we had to send a bunch of groups down to stay at the Mirage and stuff like that because it was the newest place on the Vegas Strip. It is closing this summer, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino and Guitar Hotel is going to take its place.
Now, I saw the story, and by the way, that's the home of Love, the Beatles, Circus du Soleil show, which is just a killer. There'll be, I think, July is going to be the last show, so if you want to see it, you better make your way. Are they going to tear it down and build a new hotel, or are they going to convert?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It sounds like about 90% of it is going to come down, at least a little piece of the infrastructure.
That happens in Vegas about every 15, 20 years.
yeah, or every 15, 20 minutes. And then, of course, they've got that ballpark they need to build down there, and that's a whole other issue. All right, want to buy a town? There's one in California for sale for $6.6 million. It's in San Diego County, down fairly close to the Mexican border. It's called Campo, California. There are a few buildings there. Let's see here. What is it? There is, for $6.6 million, you get 16 acres of land and 92 square feet of building property. According to the Orange County Register, nearly all of the town has been on the market since 2019. With the current price up from $5.5 million. So maybe there's a little room to negotiate there. If you've got an extra $6 million laying around, why, maybe you can buy yourself your own town.
Cool. How many square feet of property did you say?
Well, 16 acres.
Yeah, that.
And 92,000 feet of building.
92,000. So that's a lot of building.
That's quite a bit of building space, yeah. From Broadway comes this update. There is going to be a new musical coming this fall, called The Heart of Rock and Roll, a new musical comedy. Huey Lewis
Yep.
Man who's been a part of the Travel Guys program here ever since the beginning. The Hard and Rock and Roll follows a couple of 20-somethings on the cusp of their futures. Bobby, a rock and roller who's traded his guitar for the corporate ladder, and his boss, Cassandra, who has always put the family business first.
Fascinating. Yeah, I remember when this was first previewed down in L.A., and everybody's going, well, I wonder if this is going to make it to Broadway.
All Huey Lewis music. So
yeah.
Could be fun. You just never know. In the Hurt, we're Hertz, and we're not just dumb, we're dumber. Hertz, this is the same car rental company that sends police to people's houses to arrest them for stealing cars that they returned weeks ago. Hertz charged a customer $277 for a gas tank refill, except the car was a Tesla. After stonewalling the renter and insisting that it couldn't possibly remove the bogus gas charge, Hertz backed down when consumer advocates came calling and outed the rental firm's utter stupidity. $277. Watch those guys at Hertz, boy. If you rent an electric vehicle, they're liable to try to get you. Okay, update on the Oakland airport. They are now the San Francisco Bay Oakland Airport. And San Francisco is suing them and not happy about it, but Oakland says, neener, neener, we're doing it anyway.
You know what they also said? They also said, you know, San Francisco Airport, you're not in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's South San Francisco there. Never mind. Just move along. There's nothing to see here. And that is your travel news for today.
Yeah, some hot jazz. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We don't got a lot of time to cover quite a bit here in this segment, Mark. So let's get started. We're talking about finalizing that FAA authorization bill. What do you know?
Right, which had the consumer protections in it. Lawmakers went back and forth. The Airlines for America, the big airline lobbying group, was, boy, they were on their game this last week trying to make sure that these consumer protections didn't go through, or that they could complicate them, that refunds wouldn't be automatic, that you'd have to ask for a refund. A lot of people wouldn't know how to ask for a refund, so then the airlines wouldn't have to make the refund. And then, first of the week we come, the airlines filed a major lawsuit against the FCC, because they want to make sure that consumers are not, in their own words, consumers will be terribly confused by these new rules and won't be able to make intelligent buying decisions. So let me make sure I understand this. If we give consumers the information they need to make a logical decision, it will just confuse them. And so we certainly shouldn't do that. Let's not follow the rules and be honest with people. I really don't think that airlines have a huge problem here, except that they're allergic to honesty. I mean, that's what this all comes down to, is that they're stalling and doing everything they can think of to try to drag this out, dilute it, whatever, so that consumers don't get these protections. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, when he heard about the lawsuit, said, "I'm just speechless." And he said, "People who know that I'm not speechless very often." He's a politician. Delta Airlines, American, United, JetBlue, Alaska, Hawaiian all filed a lawsuit saying basically to the judge that consumers would just be confused if you give them accurate, honest information. So I don't know what to say about that, except to call BS on the airlines. That's just a blatant. I mean, do they just think that we're all idiots?
Yes, that's exactly it. They do. They think we're idiots and we would not be able to figure it out. And so it's better off that we just don't even try.
Yeah, just go sit in the corner and we'll tell you when it's time for you to get on the plane, or when we owe you money or anything like that, to remind you some of these new rules. For example, airlines can't charge families to sit together. Airlines cannot charge you to talk to one of their people, Frontier Airlines. You can't charge a customer who has an issue and wants to talk to you on the telephone or at the airport. You can't charge them a fee for that. If you cancel a domestic flight or it's delayed more than 3 hours, you have to offer customers a refund. You can't give them a voucher. International flights, 6 hours. So in some cases, some airlines play by these rules. If you notice, when I read that list of airlines, one airline is noticeably absent. from that list.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the one airline that doesn't charge for baggage and doesn't have so many rules and things. They're not concerned with consumers having honest information because that's the way they do business, and that would be Southwest Airlines. So this is really kind of interesting here. It's kind of a push-pull, but I don't understand really and truly. The writing is on the wall. The airlines are going to have to. Now, these rules take effect. They have between 6 and 12 months. So if you go out to the airport next week to get on a United flight and it's canceled and they don't follow these rules, they're just going to say, well, we haven't implemented these rules yet. And some rules that get passed never get implemented because, of course, this will give them another opportunity to get Congress to drag their feet or somehow to latch to put something in here that minimizes the impact of this. But, you know, this has been, as Charlie Leoka at Travelers United spoke to Chris Elliott this week about this, everybody is the same. You know, we have to hold these people's feet to the fire. And it took a long time to get these rules passed. There are other things we'd like to look at, the size of the seats, because people have gotten bigger over the years and airline seats have gotten smaller. There are a lot of issues there that would help consumers. And the airlines have really got to be put in their place. I mean, come on, guys. It just, to me, it's ridiculous. A lawsuit because the passengers won one. So if we don't win, then we're going to sue you type of thing. But anyways, I just truly don't understand it. But in this case, the reason the airlines are so unhappy is because the Flyers are winning.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We spoke with the folks from the San Francisco Carnival, I think about a year ago, going into four decades of this particular event. It's a pretty big deal. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on. Mark, why don't you tell us who we're going to talk to?
Yeah, about 400,000 visitors come to the Mission District in San Francisco for Carnival. And joining us is Rodrigo Duran. He is the executive director of Carnival San Francisco, and he's here to tell us a little bit about the event. Rodrigo, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So you guys are having a big party in San Francisco, one that you have every year. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Every Memorial Day weekend, we bring life, color, joy, and culture to San Francisco with our carnival. On this year, taking place on May 25th and 26th in the heart of the Mission District.
Did I see where this is the largest multicultural event of its type in the country?
Correct. You know, we've been at it for 45, going to 46 years. And what makes us so unique and special is how multicultural it is. So we're representing all 23 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean in one event that brings 400,000 people, not only to dance, not only to enjoy stuff, but to eat yummy food, to, you know, patronize local businesses. So it's a whole entire production that benefits the neighborhood and makes everyone want to dance.
Rodrigo, I see that the 2024 Carnival in San Francisco is honoring indigenous roots, is what you're calling it this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that the theme for this year is to bring an introspective look at who we are, folks who either identify or have indigenous heritage, or folks who just want to be part of movements and understand the cultures that exist, not only in San Francisco, who we're going to pay homage to, but also California, the Americas, and even around the world. So we're looking at how do we bring to the forefront the indigenous culture that is so rich, that was rich in the past, rich in the present, and going to continue in the future.
We're talking with Rodrigo Duran a little bit about Carnival San Francisco, the big party, which is going to take place next weekend, next Saturday and Sunday, Memorial Day weekend in the city. Rodrigo, if for someone like me, I've never been to the event before, and I'm thinking, wow, this would be kind of cool. This sounds like a great thing to do. Walk me through. I'm coming down to the Mission District, and I don't have any experience with this event at all. What should I do? Where should I go? What should I see?
Well, first of all, you want to get a hotel because this is a two-day festival and grand parade. So if you're coming from far, you might as well stay in San Francisco. But listen, the festival begins on Saturday, May 25th at 11 a.m. It's free to the public, but you can expect five stages, five block parties, a health and wellness pavilion, a drumming pavilion, a job fair. But when it comes to, you know, what people really look forward to are, of course, like I mentioned, the music, which is international and very Latino and hype, and also the food. We have over 60 food vendors participating. So if you want, you know, lomo saltado, you want pupusas, you want jerk chicken, we have it all at Carnival. But also, then on Sunday, not only do we have our festival, but we have our grand parade. And that's like the gem. And that is brings 3,000 different artists representing all Latin American Caribbean, parading down the streets of the Mission for a total of 20 blocks. So it's being televised by KPIX-CBS. And it's just this fantastic experience of different cultures and music.
Wow. If you're going to be in the city next weekend, this is sounds like the place to be. Or if you know somebody who lives in the greater Bay Area, maybe they just moved in there. They're kind of new residents. Boy, wouldn't this be an opportunity to capture some of the culture, not only of California, but of a couple of dozen countries all throughout Latin America. Rodrigo, before we let you go, anything else that we should tell folks about Carnival?
You know, go look us up at carnivalsanfrancisco.org. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. If you want the best seats in the house for the parade, because the parade's 100% free, but we have grandstand seating tickets that are for sale. Go on our website, look us up, see, you know, what is waiting for you next Saturday and Sunday, May 25th, 26th.
Awesome. We will put a link to all the Carnival activities at travelguysradio.com if you wish. So head to the city, take part in the party. Rodrigo, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes of your time today.
Thank you. Cha, cha, cha.
Wow. Sounds like one heck of a party in San Francisco. Some of the people who are listening have probably been to this event before. All right, let's switch gears here from Carnival in San Francisco to a really important charitable project that goes on here in Northern California and has been going on now for almost two decades.
Yes, it has. And we're talking about the Wreath Project. We have Susie Stocking joining us. She's been with the Wreath Project for many, many years. We've started out. Well, we'll let her tell you all about it. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you for having us.
Let me ask you right off the bat, Susie. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. When did this all start for you and the family for the Wreath Project?
It started in 2006, the year that the cemetery opened. So we're coming up on our 19th Christmas out there.
Wow. Wow. What was the impetus to for you to get involved, Susie, in this project at the Sacramento Valley National Cemetery down in the Vacaville, Fairfield area?
You know, we saw a story about the National Wreaths Across America program that was going at the time. And with this cemetery being so close and just opening this year, we were hoping to get them involved. And by the time we heard about it, it was already early December. So it was too late to get to be part of the national program. So we just got some friends together and collected around 325 wreaths and put them out there that year. And that just kind of started the ball rolling.
So you had 325 wreaths the first year at the cemetery. How many boughs will you put out this year, would you estimate? Or how many did you put out last year?
Well, last year it was a little over 32,000. So this year the estimate is 35,000.
That's crazy. Wow. Well,
I truly bow to you and your group of volunteers, because I can't even begin to, I mean, I've been involved in some things like this myself over the years, but I can't even imagine something that is 100 times bigger than it was when you started it, and yet you guys are still out there. So you put wreaths on the graves of all of the folks who have served our country there at the Sacramento Valley Cemetery. And doing that costs a lot of money, yes?
It does. We've been able to keep our costs down to around $7 each for the boughs. And what happened was the year that we had COVID and we couldn't do any fundraising, we worked with our supplier up in Oregon, and we were able to change from getting the full wreath actually to the bows or swags that they had available at the time, mm-hmm. and it was half the cost. So it cut all of our expenses in half.
Yeah.
And we've stayed with that because they look just as nice as the full wreath.
They do.
And we're able to cut the whole cemetery, so that was the goal.
That is so cool. So you guys have one of your fundraising efforts every year is a golf tournament, which is coming up here very soon. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's coming up at the end of the month. We're out at Hagen Oaks, and we top out at about 100 golfers, and we get a lot of sponsors for that. We do a small raffle, and then we provide them breakfast. It's provided by the sponsors, but a breakfast and a luncheon, and just spend a nice day golfing and get a lot of veterans involved also.
And there is a cost for this, obviously, because it's a fundraiser.
Yeah, the cost per golfer is $150, and everything's included in that.
How many people do you generally have participating?
Usually right around 100.
Susie, do you have, oftentimes when you have fundraising golf tournaments, there are, packages or group deals for businesses that might want to sign up a foursome and so forth versus individuals who might want to play. Do you have something like that going this year?
We do. Our sponsorships, we have a lunch and a breakfast sponsor and a gold sponsor, and all of those include a foursome and in their sponsorship package.
So, Susie, when is the golf tournament and where is it at? $150?
Yes, Friday, May 31st at Hagen Oaks in Sacramento.
Okay, excellent. And it's a shotgun start, which is 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, starts at 8 o'clock, and we'll have breakfast burritos available and beer card and a Bloody Mary card and everything that goes with the golf tournament.
There you go. Gotta have
and all
that.
The proceeds will go to help the cemetery project in December. Before I let you go here, Susie, what other big fundraisers do you do between now and December to acquire the funds to be able to go out and decorate 35,000 graves?
We'll have another an auction or dinner auction that'll be coming up in October. And that gets a fair amount, but the rest of it is just cash donations that people send in all throughout the year.
So if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a link to the information about the golf tournament and also about the wreath project. As I've said a couple times here, Susie, I am in great honor of the work that you folks do. Somebody said, well, what does that have to do with travel? And I said, well, a lot of these people went off to defend our freedom and ended up with a one-way ticket. So the fact that you all work so hard to honor them every year, and there are so many graves now. But, going out there and seeing all those graves decorated is, if it doesn't impact you just a little bit to stand there and see that, then you might want to just double check some things because it's really quite a sight. So thank you for what you do. We are honored to be a very small part of it. And we will be having our preview day in the fall and send you a little donation. So good luck with the golf tournament. Let us know if we can help.
Well, thanks very much. And we appreciate your continued support more than you know. So
those folks are a community asset. Susie and her volunteers and all of that stuff. I can't even, 35,000 graves. My goodness.
It's pretty massive. I mean, the people that may not have family members that served and were buried there have not been out there for any reason. Even if you don't, you should go in and visit, and take a look at this spectacle. It's totally amazing.
It's a very, very solemn place. So, again, hats off to Susie and all of the folks in her group who work so hard to make this happen. I am just in awe. TravelGuysRadio.com if you would like to help them, even if you're not a golfer, if you had a few shekels and you wanted to send it their way. This is a totally nonprofit group, so all of your money goes to help decorate those graves every December. All right, let's move on here. After the break, we are going to talk to some folks from Wallet Hub. You may or may not know when you travel internationally about foreign exchange fees. They're added to your credit card bill. You've got to worry about the exchange rate in the countries that you're visiting. We're going to talk a little bit about that and see if we can make you a little bit smarter traveler when it comes to the subject of exchange fees.
Thanks for coming along. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Mark, we have a special guest to talk about credit cards, and where better, what better resource than our friends at Wallet Hub.
Yeah. The folks at Wallet Hub are always sending us lists and statistics and things like that. And this one really caught my eye, the concept of foreign transaction fees. When you're in another country, and whether you're using their currency that you bought using dollars or you're using a credit card, there's some math that has to go on there. And some people pay a lot of attention to that. Some people probably don't pay as much. We thought it would be nice to try to make you a little bit smarter when it came to foreign transaction fees. We are joined today by Cassandra Happy. Cassandra is here to talk to us a little bit about all of this foreign exchange. Cassandra, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about, if you can explain to our audience, what is a foreign transaction fee?
So a foreign transaction fee is a charge that you incur when you use a credit or debit card abroad or with a foreign merchant. These fees typically cover currency conversion costs and additional administrative expenses that go along with these international purchases.
And they generally range in the neighborhood of 2, 3, 4%?
It does depend upon the particular situation, but yeah, 3-4% is pretty average. And if you're able to, it's best to use a credit card that has no foreign transaction fees, so that way you can avoid that altogether.
Now, you're talking about credit cards. When we're traveling abroad, some people will go to the bank and say, hey, you know, I need some Dutch guilders, or I need some francs, or I need whatever. And that's fine if you're for gratuities and small expenses along the way. But when you're traveling abroad, is the wisdom really to use credit cards for major purchases?
That really is your best option. Usually the average exchange rate is much better with a credit card and better with a debit card, but usually a little bit more. And when you're using a credit card for these transactions, you have the added benefit of the fraud protection. So there's that zero liability fraud protection on credit cards. So if something were to happen, your card gets lost or stolen and there's fraudulent charges, you're not going to be liable for that, versus if you misplace that ruble, that's gone for good.
Let's double back just for a second here. You mentioned about using credit cards, that some credit cards do not have transaction fees at all. I'm a business person. I take people on foreign trips quite often, and in many cases am paying for their accommodations and their airfares and things like that. And so we use at Sports Leisure Vacations a credit card that does not have any foreign transaction fees. It's only a couple, 3 percentage points. But when you're talking about thousands of dollars many times a year, why, then that adds up. It adds up even for an individual traveler when you're out on the road. So really, wouldn't you say, Cassandra, probably one of the keys to this whole foreign transaction thing is start with a credit card that doesn't charge you a fee?
Absolutely. 63% of credit cards have foreign transaction fees. So really be on the lookout for cards that don't have that fee associated with it if you travel frequently.
Let me ask you, Cassandra, do you have a couple, 3 credit cards perhaps that you recommend for folks who do a lot of international travel?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend checking out the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. It's really great as far as having great rewards and low fees, as well as the worldwide acceptance and travel insurance, and perks like baggage insurance and emergency assistance. And it also has no foreign transaction fees, so you save there, as well as getting bonus points and up to 6.25% back when redeeming for travel.
And it sounds like there you're describing some services that might be something that if you got yourself in a spot Your plane left without you, your ship left without you, your husband left without you. Heaven forbid that you find yourself in a spot that you hadn't expected to be, that there are some other services involved there also.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about the Chase Sapphire Preferred Card as well as the Chase Sapphire Reserve Card. There's those additional travel benefits that you don't necessarily think about until you need to use them, such as that travel insurance, emergency assistance, and baggage insurance.
And those things, until you need them, they will lay in the background. But if you get into a situation, if you talk to anybody who travels a lot in foreign countries, they will tell you that those are great things to have in your back pocket in case you need them. Cassandra, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time today and your expertise to help our folks understand a little bit more about foreign transaction fees and, more importantly, how you can avoid them.
Of course. I hope we can chat again soon.
Foreign exchange fees, just one of those little things that kind of get under your skin a little bit when you're traveling to other countries. Having a credit card that doesn't charge foreign exchange fees can save you more than a few bucks, so take a look at that. Hey, listen, earlier in the program, I mentioned the airlines suing the FCC. That would be the Federal Communications Commission, of course. That was not correct. The agency they are actually suing is the DOT, the Department of Transportation. So my apologies if I confused you there, but the ridiculous lawsuit from all of the airlines is coming from is against the Department of Transportation, which would be in charge of enforcing these new consumer rules that the airlines don't like.
Hey, want to take a few seconds and talk about the Travel Guy's favorite restaurant? That's Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. You know, they can bring the great taste of Rudy's right to your next function. Or better yet, ask about their gourmet food truck, Rudy's on the Roll. It features lobster rolls, filet mignon tacos, calamari, clam chowder, or customize your very own menu. And don't forget now, when you go to Rudy's and you're looking for something special at a great price, ask for the Travel Guy Special, 6-ounce lobster tail with all the fixins for only $29.95. You just tell them that the Travel Guy sent you. Remember, Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. All right, nearing the end of the program. Mark, you got any last-minute things you want to get in?
I don't really. I'll talk to you from Newfoundland next week. In the meanwhile, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week, 11 a.m. right here on The Travel Guys.